Well, good morning, Grace Bible Church family. It's great to be with you once again here. I join you in the office, for those of you watching on the video. And I'm just really excited to be with you here on this Sunday morning presenting God's Word. I thank you for listening, for watching. I know that these times are different. It's a little bit of a challenge or a new experience with these digital services. And although they're not ideal, I really want to thank you just for taking the time to continue to grow and to listen to God's Word being preached. I know all of the pastors here are very appreciative of that, and we just want to continue to be a blessing to you as we continue to teach from God's Word. I have a couple of announcements here this morning before we get started. Just the announcement that we've been making is that our services for Grace Bible Church are canceled through April the 30th. We'll be readdressing those later on. We'll have a meeting to figure out what's happening in the month of May. And so just stay up to date with that. But until April 30th, we will not be having corporate gatherings here at the church. Also, if you need anything from the church or from the pastors, maybe a phone call or just something that we could help you with, please don't hesitate to ask. We'd love to be able to talk to you. You can call the church phone here or the pastor's phones individually or just send an email. Any of those things would work. But we are available, and we just hope that you will take advantage of that if you need. Finally, we have the Bible reading, for this week. Now, last week we forgot to put the passages in the video and the audio, and so if you have need of those, and if you've been following along, feel free to call the office and we can get you those specific passages. The passages for this week will be placed on the bottom of the screen. There's a lot of different passages, specifically in Psalms, that we'll be going through. And so again, if you're listening to the CD portion of this, feel free to call the church and we can get that to you as well. Before we begin, let's go ahead and pray. God, we thank you for this day. I thank you for the time that you've given us. Thank you once again just for the ways that you've directed us and provided technology just so that we can minister and grow together. God, I pray that you would be with those who are watching this. I just pray that you would give them comfort during this time. I pray that you would just continue to be with those who are stuck at home, whether they be quarantined or whatnot, and that you would just give them just the joy of the Lord. I just pray that they would continue to find strength in you and not in the circumstances that we're facing. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I go, have you ever heard somebody make that statement before? Before I go, here are the cooking instructions for dinner. I heard that as a child, and unfortunately, I didn't always follow them, and sometimes the results were not so great. Before I go, don't forget to give me that item you borrowed from me. Maybe you've heard that. Before I go, would it be okay if I prayed with you? Maybe you've had a pastor visit you and make that statement before, or a friend that cares for your spiritual needs. Many times as we go and we visit other people, there comes a point when we get to the closing of our discussion and we're ready to walk out the door, but there's one last thing or one main push that we want people to know about. And so we oftentimes will say this phrase, before I go, maybe it's with your spouse. And before you go, you make sure to tell them that you love them. Well, in our passage today, we're going to be looking at this idea of before I go. We'll be in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, and we're only going to be looking at two verses here. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, and verses 20 and 21. There's a lot of information in these verses, and there's a lot that we can learn in our daily lives with them. And so I challenge you to stick around in this video or the audio and to pay attention, and I just pray that it's an encouragement to you. Paul here is writing to Timothy. Timothy is a younger individual. He's a leader of the church, but he's a very young leader. And Paul has taught him and raised him in ways spiritually and just as a leader. And Paul, concluding this first letter of Timothy that we have in Scripture, comes down to these two verses. And this is what it says starting in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Now, you might be thinking and sitting here and thinking, wow, Pastor Spencer is going to be very short today. But that's not the case. It won't be too long, though, so stick around. As we see here, Paul, he gets to the end of his letter, and essentially what he says is this: Before I go, Timothy, there are things I want you to know. There are things that I need to refresh in your mind, or I just want to emphasize from this letter that I've shared with you. And so, as we look at these, we're going to see that each of these areas happens with the phrase, before I go. The first thing that we see, starting in verse 20, is this idea of, before I go, know that I care. Before I go, know that I care. Well, how do we know this? In verse 20, the first two words are very telling of the relationship between Timothy and Paul. Verse 20, O Timothy. Can you hear the emotions in these words? It's strong, it's sincere, maybe it's a little raw, a little vulnerable. O Timothy. There's something important that Paul wants to say. We can hear the emotion that's in this area. It kind of reminds me of classic literature and some of the pleas that we see there. Take this quote from Henry IV, Part 2 by Shakespeare. O sleep, O gentle sleep, nature's soft nurse, how have I frightened thee, that thou no more will weigh my eyelids down and steep my senses in forgetfulness? O sleep, O gentle sleep. He cares about sleep. There's something that he wants from sleep. And as we see here in Scripture, O Timothy, there's a relationship. As I said, it's a plea. It's a strong desire, a desperate urge to see this young spiritual leader succeed and stay strong in the Lord. Now, if we flip back in our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, read verses 1 and 2 with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see why he sounds so emotionally connected to Timothy? O Timothy, O Timothy, my son in the faith, as verse 2 says. There was an incredibly deep connection and relationship between the two. If we were to just generalize what this statement is really saying, we could say this, that Paul cares deeply for Timothy. Paul cares incredibly deeply for Timothy, and he wants him to know, before I go, Timothy, know that I care for you, and know that I long to see you succeed wherever God places you. Well, Timothy had been placed in the city of Ephesus, and that's where he was ministering at this time. And so that is kind of the context of where he would have been when Paul sent this letter. Before I go, know that I care. Secondly, though, today, we see that Paul says this idea, before I go, Timothy, keep the truth. Keep the truth. Where can this be seen? Again, in verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Now, what does this mean? We can look at it and we can have general ideas, but there's a deeper kind of sense behind the original language here. This phrase literally conveys the idea of someone guarding closely a trust, a deposit, someone standing guard and keeping it safe. It's very valuable. But what is of great value that Paul has entrusted Timothy? Well, looking back through 1 Timothy, we see that Paul has entrusted a lot of information concerning church order, church structure, as well as just spiritual maturity and the growth of a Christian to Timothy. Paul was coming to the end of his life, and ultimately he desired to see the next generation grow and lead. Now, many times that can be hard. I know I'm younger, but just thinking through the short amount of time that I've had, sometimes it's hard when I've carried on something to pass it on to somebody younger than me. Sometimes it's difficult to go that way. But I don't think Paul was having that issue. I don't think that because it's obvious that he's begun passing this idea of a race, if you will, coming from 1 Corinthians 9 to Timothy, passing that baton. Paul was coming to the end of his life. He desired to see the next generation grow and lead, to carry that spiritual baton of the race of life, again, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 9. But there were three ways that Paul really did this to Timothy. And I think there are three ways that we as believers can see this as we seek to grow and share our faith and disciple others in Christ. The first thing that Paul had to do is he had to be eager to see someone younger lead. He had to be eager to see Timothy, this young church leader, come in and begin ministering to the church at Ephesus. Maybe it was hard, maybe it wasn't. But no matter, he had to be excited to see him lead. That was the first step, because he had to be willing to let others pick up the torch. He had to be willing to let others pick up that spiritual baton and take it in their hand and begin running the race that Christ has set before them. Not only did they have to be eager to see the young lead, but Paul was also willing to mentor this young leader. Paul was willing to mentor Timothy in a way and instruct him essentially on how to carry that torch, that spiritual torch, your spiritual baton, through life. Think about it. Discipleship, and specifically between Paul and Timothy, wasn't just Paul looking at Timothy and saying, I'm going to disciple you, and then going on their own way and not doing anything together. No, that's not true. And in this sense, even though Paul wasn't with Timothy, he was still pouring into him spiritually. As a young leader, he was giving him knowledge. He was recognizing that his time on earth was coming to a close, and that Timothy's generation, was going to be the next group of leaders to continue spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that, again, he was eager to see, but he also had a willingness to help guide the younger generation where they should go. Well, not only was he eager to see the young lead, he wasn't only willing to mentor this young leader, but he was also excited to see the next generation excel. He rejoiced to see Christ magnified by someone else carrying the torch. As we disciple others, no matter if you're younger, maybe there's a teen in the youth group here, you can still be a disciple maker. Maybe you're an older individual in the congregation and you've discipled many people. You can still be a disciple maker. And to be a disciple maker, not only do you have to be eager, not only have to be willing, but there's also this excitement that you receive that comes from watching someone else not be a result of what you've done, but watching how God has used them to take them from point A to point B and where they're supposed to be. To see them excel in Christ, in their own spiritual lives, and to see them then begin to make other disciples. It's a multiplication process. And Paul, as he's sitting here, writing these words, he says, keep that which is committed to thy trust. These ideas of how to help other people grow spiritually. These ideas of how to continue growing spiritually himself as a young leader. These ideas of how to continue in the faith. How to lead a church. Above this, though, there was something more important than church structure, than spiritual growth, although those are both incredibly important. The main thing that Paul had entrusted to him was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, the gospel is what drove Paul to disciple Timothy. The gospel is what drove Paul to write this letter. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what drove and pushed Paul to see Timothy continue to grow spiritually in his own life. Here's the gospel. And it's the gospel that has the power to transform your life and my life as it continues to do so through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the gospel that continues to change the lives of so many people around the world. Maybe it's somebody in your neighborhood. Maybe it's a friend, a relative. And although we're here in this state of quarantine and we might not have much access to other people, Paul, he was one of the first people, I would say, if we're looking back through Scripture, to use a different form of communication, not face-to-face, right? Not with each other in person. Paul was in a completely different place, and he still found out how to minister and have an impact in other people's lives. Did you ever think about that? Paul was the first one to be quarantined, and he might not have been the first one, but when we think about this, he was one of the first people to be quarantined and still minister. He found ways, the ways of writing to others. Today we have technology, maybe through video or through phone conversations, but you can still have the ability to minister to others through the gospel. And it's not just the gospel in the structure, meaning the gospel itself, the core, that Jesus came, was crucified and died, but rose again for our sake. No, not just the structure, but also in the proclamation. If we flip back to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, that is not the correct passage. Second Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2. Excuse me. The Bible says, "Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." There's a lot that could be said there. But as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be getting hung up on the petty affairs of life and becoming ineffective. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. My numbers are off here today. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You know what? There's a lot that we could become entangled with in this life. There's a lot that Paul could have become entangled with, and Timothy could have become entangled with in his life. And yet here he is, writing to Timothy very concisely, "O Timothy, keep that which I have committed to thy trust. Keep the things that you know. Keep the gospel." Can you think of some affairs in this world that may be distracting you? As just a good soldier, as a follower, a leader of Jesus Christ, can you think of some things that might be pulling you and shifting your focus from where they should be on Christ onto things of this world? I know in my own life there are things that I could name. But what about you? What things might be pulling from you? Are you willing to be a good soldier who endures the present hardships for the sake of the gospel? Are you willing to continue pushing forward, and even though you can't have that face-to-face interaction, are you willing to use and utilize the things of this world to convey a timeless truth that's not of this world, the gospel that has the power to change lives? Things to think about. And so Paul, as he said, "Before I go, know that I care, keep the truth." Thirdly, though, Paul says something else. "Before I go, avoid worthless words." Avoid worthless words. This is found at the end of verse 20. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." You know, the word profane carries this idea of something that's worldly, something that's godless, something that's, again, profane, that root. And so avoid those things that are worldly. Avoid those things that are godless and aren't of God. But not only profane, it also says vain. What's vain? Vain is it's basically worthless. Avoid those worldly, godless, worthless babblings. When I hear the word babblings, I don't really think of an intelligent person. But the word babblings literally means empty talk or chatter. avoid those godless worldly talks and chatters that are distracting from your main purpose, your main mission, the thing that I have entrusted to you, the gospel. Avoid those things, because ultimately they will not fill you. Now, as I was reading this, it reminded me of something that I had heard a while back, and many of you have probably heard it, because many of you are older than me. But it's this idea. Maybe you've seen it on television, and it was before I was born, but the Wendy's commercial, "Where is the beef?" As there are several ladies sitting around a table looking at this big bun that should have a hamburger on it or a cheeseburger. They look at it and they say, "Wow, look at how big it is. Look at how great it is." And as they open it up, there's a tiny burger there with a pickle on top. And the lady kind of pulls up to it and she asks this question, "Where's the beef?" It's kind of a humorous commercial, but we get the point. The meat is missing, the things that truly matters. It's not the bun. The bun's just kind of a filler that holds the meat there. What really matters is missing, or it's out of proportion for what we see. You know what? There's lots of talk, but no meat in these vain and profane babblings. We talk big. We can talk in a worldly sense that's not honored to God. We can get caught up in the worldly talk that's outside your door. Maybe it's in your home. We live in the world, and so sometimes those things creep in unintentionally. And we talk this big stuff, but ultimately, when we get stuck with empty talk, we end up feeding ourselves that starchy bread, like in the commercial, like information that fills, but it doesn't satisfy. If you were to eat that hamburger, you would get that bread and you would feel full. And you might even feel a little sick. But the nutrients, what actually matters, wasn't there. And it wouldn't feed you. And you'd be hungry just a short while later. You know what? In the same way, is when we take and when we use profane and vain babblings, and that trumps or is placed above the gospel and the calling that Jesus Christ has placed on both of our lives, you and me, that's what happens. And Paul here, as he's closing this letter to Timothy, says, "Timothy, don't get sucked into that. Keep the course. Stay the course. Keep that which I've committed you and avoid these vain and profane babblings that other people have and that they've adopted into their lives. Only Christ will satisfy our greatest hunger, and only the gospel can do that through Christ." Now, also here we see this sentence, "and oppositions of science falsely so-called." You know what, there's quite a bit of information that people may call science that's not necessarily true. We could go down that rabbit trail and we could look at creation or different things like that. But that's not what this is actually saying. The original word for science literally conveys this idea of information. And so what's it saying? "And oppositions of science falsely so-called." Oppositions of false information. Maybe you feel like you've been sucked into false information before. But the biggest thing is that they have lost the path. They've strayed from where God has placed them into these bushes, these weeds on the side of the road. And they've been sucked into this false knowledge, so-called. Timothy, this young leader of the church, Paul's talking to me and he's saying, don't get sucked into this false knowledge. Don't get sucked into this knowledge that, again, bloats the head but doesn't help the heart. It kind of ties directly into that idea of keeping what he's been committed to thy trust and avoiding those profane and vain babblings of the world. Stay on course. Stay where you know God has put you. Again, I ask, is there anything in our lives, in your life today, that really doesn't edify your spiritual walk that you have become enamored with? Maybe it's false, or maybe it's filler knowledge. I urge you, turn from these things. Turn to Christ, the one who is the truth and can satisfy the deepest longings and desires of your heart. Now, ultimately, we've come to the end of verse 20, and the fact of the matter is that when you are fully engulfed in who God is, enamored with his glory, his majesty, his splendor. You don't have time for the worthless things of this world. You don't have time to be sidetracked into the bushes, into the vain and profane babblings, into the false information that might be out there. Because your heart and your eyes, your mind is so set on Christ that that is all you desire to seek after. Now, this doesn't mean that there won't be temptations or that sin might not creep in at some point. We are human after all. But it means that all of that will look so much less appealing as we fix our eyes and our hearts on what truly matters. Finally, in these last two verses of 1 Timothy, we see, before I go, in verse 21, watch your footing. Timothy, watch your footing. Look at verse 21 with me. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. You know what? Apparently, some had fallen away, wandered, deviated, or departed, as Strong's Concordance might use, from the truth. They were on that path, and they got sucked into the false or wrong information of the world, into the vain, worldly babblings of the world, and they had lost sight of where they were supposed to be. They had wandered from the truth. And Paul is saying, Timothy, don't do this. Don't get sucked away, because if you get sucked away, you err from what you know to be true. And ultimately, as we look through other letters that Paul wrote, we see that that can be detrimental to our testimonies. It can be detrimental to those around us as we lead others astray. It's not how God intended it for it to be. In the final part of verse 21, it says this, grace be with thee. Now, Paul concludes, this is very standard. If we look at the other Pauline epistles, we see how Paul concludes a lot of times with this statement, grace be with thee. It's a common salutation. Now, one commentator notes that this is actually a plural salutation, though. Well, why is that? Paul is saying, grace be with thee, but it's not just to Timothy. Remember, he's in the city of Ephesus. And so Paul is literally saying, grace be with thee. He's greeting the church at Ephesus during this time, even though he's just come off of a very personal application to Timothy, a young leader who Paul so deeply cared about. Just as this very personal note had something in it for the whole church at Ephesus, this grace be with thee, the book of 1 Timothy has application to our lives as the church today. You know, we can look at this, and we can see how we need to make sure that we continue to keep which has been committed to us as believers. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that ability to disciple others. We can be encouraged and exhorted to avoid profane and vain babblings, to avoid those positions of science or opposition, excuse me, of information or science, falsely so called. Those have application to your life today and to my life today. And so we can see that in this passage. And ultimately, even though this is very, very specific to Timothy, we can know that we can be encouraged and learn from this through everything that's going around to keep our eyes on what really matters, and that's Jesus Christ. As we conclude, there's one word that he closes it with in verse 21, and it's amen. So be it, is what it literally means. Paul has concluded, he's placed his pen down, and he's completed his letter to Timothy. And so here we have it in our Bibles today to pore over, to study, to draw from into our own lives, and to be challenged by as we seek to go closer to Christ. You know what? Just as Paul had a plea for Timothy, O Timothy, God has a plea for us. O Christian, will you continue to follow me? For those of you who might not be saved or might not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he's saying, O individual, won't you come to me? He has a plea. Before I go, preach my gospel and make disciples to the world. The Great Commission. O Christian, obey me. Listen and let my word work in your life. Will you do that today? Are you a teachable spirit like Timothy was, who was able to receive this information not proudly and not in a way that was puffing himself up larger than he was, but in a teachable spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to mold and to shape your life? You know, a lot of times it hurts. It chisels at who we think we are, but honestly, we are nothing without Christ. May we all be servants who seek to honor and glorify God, no matter the situation. Paul was not able to be with Timothy. He was elsewhere. And yet here he is, ministering to Timothy through this time, through writing. It's only when we follow the words of Christ before he left that we can truly be ready for his second coming. Until he comes, let us labor together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. We just thank you again for all the ways that you work in our life and guide us. I pray you continue to be with the health crisis that's going on outside, and that you would just continue to protect us and just be with the doctors and the medical workers who are working with this. I pray that you would be with the government. Give them wisdom in what they should do, and may we just be servants who are seeking to please you and ultimately following after you, not distracted by the things of this world, but seeking to grow closer to you through this time. We love you and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me today. Thanks for watching or listening. I pray that it's been an encouragement to you, and I hope you have a great rest of the week. Make sure to join Pastor Rich this Wednesday for some Bible study with the book of Ephesians. I think he's in chapter 4, and so we look forward to seeing you then. God bless.